Hey, it's Dan Bova from Entrepreneur Media, and welcome to How Success Happens, the show where I talk to awesome people who do awesome things and ask the simple question, how on earth did you do that? Hey, everyone, and welcome to another episode of How Success Happens. Now, usually we have one amazing person on the show, but this week we've got a buy one, get one free special just for you. We have two guests who are in the boundary pushing business in more ways than one. Devin Levesque is a serial entrepreneur who, among many things, co-founded the massive nutrition and supplements brand ProMix. And Jesse Itzler is a serial entrepreneur who, among many other things, founded Marquee Jets. And together, forming like Voltron, they are the co-founders of Running Man, which is a three-day health and wellness festival that brings to life their sense of adventure. Because did I fail to mention that they do things like climbing Mount Everest or running 100-mile races in their spare time? So everyone, get prepared to get pumped up. Welcome, Devin and Jesse.
Good introduction, Dan.
So for those who are listening that can't see, Devin is on the road somewhere in America, so we'll hear his adventure. But I wonder if we could start with digging in a little bit of your mindset of pursuing success and how that's changed for you over the years. What did success mean for you when you just started out? And what does it mean for you today? So Jesse, let's start with you.
Yeah, I think when you're first starting out, for me, I've been an entrepreneur for 35 years with several different businesses. And, you know, success for me was probably a little bit warped in my 20s and 30s. I think that when you're early on in your business journey, there's a lot of ego, especially for men in business, competition, ego. So success for me was different than it is now at 56 with four children. When I look at it now, you know, I have a couple of buckets and there's a lot of definitions of success, Dan, but I like to use this as one of them. It's figuring out what buckets are the most important to you. So maybe it's family, health, philanthropy, business, whatever, and being as good as you can be in those buckets. So that's where I'm at right now. In my 30s, it was probably trying to be richer than the next guy or something like that, but it's a lot different.
How about you, Devin?
Yeah, you know, I'm 33 years old, so Jesse's been an entrepreneur longer than I've been alive, which is a funny stat, but, you know, Jesse and I connect on, you know, I think the way we look at life, you know, he says this all the time, and I agree, everyone has a different definition of success. My definition of success is when I can be myself 100% of the time, and then when I can be myself, I can also own my time, and so, you know, it's no surprise, you know, I'm on the road right now. Probably not sitting in an office. You'll catch me rarely doing that. I like to maximize my time and, you know, travel around. There's 8 billion people on earth. There's so many places to go and explore and people to learn from. And I feel like when I own my time and I don't let someone else, you know, control my time, that's what success is to me.
That's awesome. Yeah, I want to dig into that entrepreneurship and the freedom that it brings and also the pressure that it brings. But first, you know, why don't we talk a little bit about Running Man? Can you guys tell us what it's all about? Because, you know, for those listening, there's still time to sign up for it. So I'd love to hear more about it.
Well, Running Man's a three-day event, September 12th through 14th or 15th in Kingston, Georgia. It's hard to describe because it's not your regular festival. It combines components of adult summer camp. It combines components of a mastermind, a festival, and a race. But it's a three-day event. We've taken over 5,000 acres outside of Atlanta, and we have incredible programming. We bring in speakers. There's breakout sessions. The whole focus is around health and wellness, Dan. And we've created this three-day, almost Disneyland-esque experience for adults, based around health, wellness, fitness, with a strong running component. On the second day, we have a 1 mile loop and you have 8 hours to use as much or as little of the time as you want to do any distance race you want. So you can walk a mile, run a mile, a yoga class, go to lunch, meet people, have a meeting, come back, do 3 miles, and leave with a half marathon medal around your neck. It's a pretty cool format.
Oh, that's cool.
It's a wellness festival.
Yeah.
We are super excited about it.
That's awesome. Very cool.
But what it also just does for people, because, you know, he hit it on the nail, like what it is. But man, it really helps open people's brain into meeting new people, trying new things, and learning new things. And, you know, I wasn't a great person in school. I couldn't sit in the classroom and do the normal books and tests. And I just was never a good schoolgoer. But this is kind of my school. You know, hearing different entrepreneurs and kind of their journey, what's working in marketing, what's not, what's working in raising capital, what's not, finding some like-minded people, especially through transition. Us as humans go through transition all the time, whether it's personally, professionally, physically. And when you have a group of people that you can brainstorm with and bounce ideas off of in a safe environment, in a non-judgmental environment, in a place where people are all really carrying similar values and just trying to achieve more and help more and give more, man, it opens the brain. And so it's a place where you can find a lot of aha moments in life. I know I learn a ton at Running Man about what people are doing and kind of how they're going about life and figuring things out. And it just gives me, you know, selfishly a lot of ideas about my own life. And that's what I see, you know, a lot of people that come to Running Man in the last couple of years, they find value in really just finding those aha moments.
That's great. And, you know, I guess this actually lines up with you're calling us from, you're on the road, you're heading to another event. I love that description of the race where, or it's not a race, but the run where you could stop and have a hot dog or maybe something more healthy than that. But you run, talk to some people, eat something, have a drink, go run again. Like, I love that, there's not like these set limits of we're going to crush it until your eyes are bleeding and then we'll take a break. Is that, does that translate to how you guys operate your businesses?
In a way, I mean, entrepreneurs do one of two things. They either create something new or they make something that exists better. And, you know, running races have been the same for the last 100 years. You know, you go to a race, you run it, you get a medal, you go home. And for me, I always wanted to, there's so much more. There's community, there's recovery, there's celebration, you know, there's anticipation and fear. And I don't love the formats of the traditional races. And I thought that, you know, when Dev and I came up with the concept for the run portion of Running Man, you know, the name Running Man makes it sound like it's a running festival and it's not. It really is truly like Devin said, like there's business meetings, there's deals happening. People are getting jobs, there's networking, there's new products in health and wellness being on display by companies on cutting edge technology. It's an amazing event. But the running portion of it, you know, our format is very unique. You can run or walk as much as you want. Many people that go to Running Man have never done a race in their life. And they take advantage of this unique format to go distances they never thought they can because they're talking. Why does the race have to be like, you have to run this distance and it's over? Why not just be like, hey, open field, do as much or as little as you want, you know? And we've experimented with this format for 3 years and people love it.
So you and Devin independently are known for some pretty extreme feats. Devin did a backflip on top of Mount Everest. You've done a 100-mile ultramarathon, maybe more, but I saw that at least one. What do those kinds of things mean to you to have completed a 100-mile race? And but more importantly, what are the lessons that you learn while you're pushing your body to its kind of physical limits?
Yeah, I mean, I think you learn a lot about yourself when you're challenged. And I think that for me, you know, I like to challenge myself in physical events because long distance racing eliminates the element of speed and I'm not fast. And it brings in the element of will and the will to not quit. And those things to me translate as an entrepreneur have always translated in a big way in my life in business. So for me, doing events like that, you know, you learn a lot about yourself. And you realize, like I always say after races like that, I go back to my office and I tell my team, let's double our business plan. We're capable of so much more. And because they show you how you can stretch your self-imposed limitations and really do more. So I try to put one of those on my calendar every year. I've been pretty good at that over the last couple of years because it really does help me in all the other buckets of my life. Most people run away from challenges, but these kind of challenges, which have goalposts around them and, you know, not super dangerous, they're just really hard. You know, you just learn so much. You learn so much about your ability to go beyond what you thought you could do.
Yeah. You know, I'm not a stoic or anything, but Marcus Aurelius has a quote I try to implement into my life. The nearer a man comes to a calm mind, the closer he is to real strength. And when I put these challenges, whether it's Bear Crawl Marathon or, you know, summoning Mount Everest or any of these things I've done, it allows me to find calmness in my brain. And then once that calmness comes, I can approach the world in a better way, just not just to business, but to my friends, my family, to, you know, just the world as a whole. And so, you know, rather than just making chaotic decisions and random decisions, everything's a little bit more methodical. And so I find, you know, in the marathons, you know, specifically, you go into this pain cave a little bit and your brain opens up in a little different way. And I start to organize my thoughts. And so that's what I get out of these hard challenges, you know? And I think a lot of these hard challenges, you need intrinsic and extrinsic motivators. You know, intrinsic might be, you know, you want to accomplish it on your own, and extrinsic, maybe you're doing it for a charity, right? And so adding both of those components into a hard challenge is helps me get through it, right? And I mean, it helps, you know, we just got done Hell on the Hill at Jesse's house, and every person had a charity, you know, they were walking for up and down this hill 100 times, you know, 80-ish yards, you're going up and down this 40-degree incline. Wow. And I mean, it's hard. It's harder than a marathon. I mean, it was harder than climbing Kilimanjaro. I mean, it's a freaking hard 3 hours. But you're doing it for a charity, so you have this extrinsic motivator. And then the intrinsic is, okay, I'm doing it for myself. Can I get through it? And I think when at Running Man, there's no, you know, year one, I did, you know, I did 30 miles. So 30 laps, and every 3 laps, I would jump in the sauna for 10 minutes. So I did this like sauna ultra. And then the next year I did 3 miles, right? And I experienced more of what we're offering on the inside. These, you know, these little master chats that industry leaders are, you know, talking about goat yoga or sauna cold plunge or amazing food vendors that we have. And just like getting face to face with some of these amazing people. So I experienced more of it the second year. I think this year is going to be a mix, but I do think adding hard stuff in, opening the brain, I've seen a big impact on my professional life and my personal life.
Year one at Running Man, Deb did 30 miles and had 3 beers. Year two at Running Man, Deb did 3 miles and had 30 beers.
True. 3 miles, that stuff I was doing inside.
We're looking for the common ground now. We're just trying to find that good middle ground for Deb.
Yeah. It's 15 and 15, you know?
15 and 15. I like that plan.
Yeah. But you can choose your own adventure. And like, that my conversations on both years were insane. Like, some people run 100 miles. I mean, we had a couple people last year literally start the night before and they just wanted to do 100 miles and they did it for a charity. And some people come, you know, most people sign up for a 5K. They're like, I'm going to go do, you know, what is it, 3-4 laps? And they ended up doing a full marathon. Because you have the amount of time, no one's judging you on time, you can take breaks, you sign up for a 5K, you ended up doing a marathon, you learn about yourself a little bit. It's cool.
That's incredible. I like that 15 plan. I'm doing some calculations in my head, what I'm going to do with the rest of my day. So when you are doing these types of events, types of races, and when you're launching a business, I have to assume at some points, you know, you're pushing through pain. There must be some points where you're like, I don't know if this is going to work. I don't know if I could keep going. Have you ever had moments like that? And what has been the thing that kind of helps you push through the self-doubt or maybe doubt that you're hearing from the outside, people telling you that's not going to work?
Whenever I'm in painful situations, honestly, business or physical, you know, I just think this is temporary. Really, everything in life is temporary, including life as a whole. And so pain, it's there and then it's gone. You know, a marathon, how long are you really going to be out there for? I mean, the Bear Crawl Marathon was 20 hours, 48 minutes. That was temporary. It was only, you know, it was a day. You know, it was hard, but it was a day. And I constantly think this is temporary. There's light at the end of this tunnel and it's going to feel really good once I get there. And so I just throw that word temporary in my brain. Yeah.
That's great. How about you, Jesse?
Well, I love moments like that because, first of all, it weeds out the competition. Most people drop out when things get really hard in business or whatever. I mean, I've been in multiple businesses where the only reason why I got to the top is because I stayed in long enough to get lucky. And I stayed in luck long enough that my luck would turn or something good would happen. And, you know, I found that in races and struggle like that, there's always peaks and valleys. And if you stay in it long enough, all of a sudden you're like, wow, I feel better. And you see the light at the end of the tunnel. That pattern has been consistent in business and racing my entire life. So for me, you know, when I had a company called Marquee Jet, and I remember one of our sales reps came back after a meeting and I asked how everything went. And she said, oh, it was tough. You know, they beat me up on price. And I said, well, you know, you're a sales rep. You know, your job is to sell and they're a customer. Their job is to push back. That's their job. So what did you expect? You know, and that, what did you expect? You're running in a marathon. What do you expect? It's not going to be hard. You're starting a business. Do you expect that it's going to be easy? You know, anything that you're doing that comes with an expectation that it's going to be challenging. And when those challenges come, it's like, what took you so long? You know, what took you so long? Mm. Well, you're going to figure it out. So, you know, no one's going to go through life unscathed, whether it's business, whether it's endurance racing, whether it's raising a family. You know, there's going to be big challenges, and that's part of the process. And quite honestly, I wouldn't want it any other way. I don't want things like that to happen, but I like troubleshooting. I like getting through them. I like getting separation from people that can't figure it out. You know, it's all part of it.
Yeah,
I agree.
So getting back to a point you were making earlier, Devin, the freedom that comes with entrepreneurship. You know, the counter to that is that it can become this all-consuming thing that, you know, takes up every minute of your life. So how do you guys manage that? The freedom that it brings versus the it's all I can think about.
Yeah. You know, Jesse and I and some of our buddies rode across America a couple of years ago, and I noticed that there was a lot of people living in these tents and just random RVs, and their life is really simple when you're at an RV park and you have, you know, a couple forks, a couple of spoons, you know, a couple plates. When you start a business, you ask for the stress. You asked for it. Don't feel bad for yourself. You asked for it. I asked when we started ProMix, like, there's probably going to be distribution issues. There's probably going to be farms that have a drought one year. There's probably going to be employees that, you know, there's high turn rate. That's just part of it. So it's like, you ask for it. You know what I mean? If you don't want it, then go back to the tent. And you can live a really simple life if we want. Extremely, extremely simple. I just left an RV park. And, you know, there must have been 150 RVs there. And people wake up. They go and sit in their chair. They have their one cup of coffee. And they just sit there all day. That's all they do. They just sit there. I'm watching them. They drive around on their golf cart. They just chill. You can do that. There's no one that is physically restraining humans from doing that. But we're choosing it. We choose to start the business. We choose to have a stressful environment, essentially. And so, like Jesse said, expect that when you go into it.
That's great. Yeah. It's some days it's tempting to just see, I'm just going to go sit in a chair all day long. But where do you think, for both of you, where do you think that drive to not do that? I mean, especially the amount of success you've had. It doesn't seem, from the outside at least, that you need to be creating new businesses. What drives you to keep doing this?
I love newness and I love challenges, and it's just in my DNA. I just can't help myself, to be honest. If I was coaching me, I would say, get on your bike, you know, relax, whatever. But I'm not coaching me, I'm me. And but I know what I should be doing. But I will say this, going back to the question you just raised with Dev, about entrepreneurs and, you know, and time and this and that. When I started out building Marquee Jet with my partner, I was in my late 20s, early 30s, and I was working 21 hours a day, betting that when I was 50, I wouldn't have to do that. And to me, that investment was worth it in my late 20s and 30s to literally give up a decade, not give up, but invest that time in my life. And I can only talk about my journey. I didn't have kids. I wasn't married. That was the time for me to step on the gas. And fortunately, that bet paid off. because now I can ride my bike across America and take time off. But yeah. Even during that grind, when I was starting out, I still went deep. I doubled down on experiences. I still found time every day to work out. I still found time to take some adventures a couple of times a year. I had enough gaps. You know, I was willing to work hard. And Dan, when you start out as an entrepreneur, unless you've raised a ton of capital and you've built a great team, in the beginning, you're wearing every hat. You're the mail office, you're the secretary, you're the creative, you're the finance guy, you're everything. And as you grow it, you can, you know, and the goal is to hire your weaknesses and build a team that allows you to be a little bit more time rich. So I wanted to make that bet early on. So when I didn't want to get there when I was 70 and 80 and I couldn't go to Running Man and the stuff that Deb and I are doing, I wanted to be able to do it in my 50s and 60s. So it was a little bit calculated for me. Now, Deb has been able to do it at the age of 33. You know, he's been able to do all this, all that stuff because the world's different with the internet. And he's growing up in a completely different environment that I grew up in the 80s and 90s. So, you know, now I don't think you have to go 21 hours a day necessarily if you're working smarter. And then more isn't better. I've always found in my 30s at Devin's age and here now in my 50s as an entrepreneur that's had five exits, a lot of egg on my face along the way, but I've had five exits. But I've realized that more isn't better, better's better. I thought in my 20s it was all about more, but now it's just about better, better quality, better friends, better quality of life, better adventures, better sleep, better relationships, you know, not more of them, not more followers, not more this, just better.
When Jesse Itzler comes to you and he's like, yo, I have an idea for a business. You want to be partners? It's really hard to say no to that. And I think when we first spoke, he was like, let's have fun with it. Let's not make this like a really stressful business environment. And, you know, he was throwing all this. Let's just have fun. Dev, let's try some things out. Let's see what works. Let's see what doesn't. Let's have fun with it. And that's what we've been doing. We have fun once a year. 3 days, blank canvas. The itinerary is really set up on things we like to do. Everything we listed off at the beginning of this podcast, the saunas, the cold plunges, the running, the meeting people, the party on Saturday night, the performers, like us, ongoing education. And so for me, it was curiosity. I was like, what is it like to do a business with Jesse, but also like we can have fun as well? Like, sign me up. And this wasn't one of those businesses that we went into, you know, it had to work. I think we were both at pretty good spots in our life where, God forbid it didn't, we wouldn't have a place to live or we couldn't pay rent. Like, we went into it a lot more chill probably than when he first started his first business.
I don't even look at Running Man as a business. I mean, yes, it has business elements. It's a company and it has people that work there, et cetera. But literally our business plan was, Deb, let's have the most fun we can have in 3 days. Let's bring in everything we like to do. Let's bring in amazing speakers. Let's have amazing healthy food. Let's have the biggest sauna in the world, the best cold plunges, the best yoga. Let's have a race. Let's bring in bands. Let's sleep in tents. And let's invite everybody we know to come.
Yeah.
That's basically, that was the business plan. And wherever the chips fall, they fall. We've never once said, do you want to make this money? Do you want to do this? It's not even a conversation. The conversation is, so we have a roller skating rink there. Is there a way that we could have an ice skating rink in the middle of the summer in Georgia?
Yeah, what did I send you the other day?
Do you know 50 people on stilts that can do a slip and slide? Like, our conversations are insane. But they're never about, and those to me are the, sometimes end up being the most successful businesses.
Yeah.
When they're driven by enthusiasm. You know, this festival, it's powered by enthusiasm, fun, and, you know, what, as entrepreneurs, we're looking at, if we paid a couple $100 to go to a festival for 3 days, what would we want to experience? And our job is to provide that.
That's great. Yeah. I love that. So on this show, we invite listeners to email in a question at howsuccesshappens@entrepreneur.com. And we got one from Greg M., who his question, it feels like he was reading my mind as he was typing. He said, I've gotten into fitness pursuits later in life. I'm in my 50s now and I get frustrated with constant injuries. Any advice for dealing with setbacks like that?
Well, I'm in my 50s too, and I'm definitely not qualified to give any kind of medical advice without knowing what the injuries are or whatever. But all of my programs at this stage of my life, first of all, I'm a huge walker. You know, fitness is cumulative. So if I can get a mile walk in the morning, maybe a short little jog, a swim, or it's all cumulative throughout the day. So my approach to fitness has changed a lot in my 50s than it did in my 20s and 30s. But my advice would be just to do things that are within the goalposts for you and start slowly. And it's more important just to stay active than to set world records. Just be active, you know, and then as you recoup and get stronger or healthier, you can add. But you just want to stay active. And, you know, in your 50s, for me, it's all about preservation now. I just want to be doing things that I can do it into my 70s and 80s. I'm at the stage, Dev is setting world records. He set a Guinness Book of World Records, bear crawl, backflip on Everest. The guy's got a new adventure every week. And that's amazing. His goals are different than mine. Mine now is preservation. At this stage of my life, in my 50s, I'm thinking about quality of life into my 60s, 70s, and 80s. You know, how do I stay active and do the things I love to do? Ski, swim, bike, run in my 70s and 80s. That's where my focus is now.
How about you, Devin? Where is your focus these days?
Dev's trying to win a UFC championship.
My focus is to throw the best damn festival this September. I really want to make sure we have the best activities, the best people, the most fun that you could possibly have in 3 days. It's July. We're 45 days away from the funnest time of the year. And my focus is that, you know, next summer I'm doing Denali, but I'm not focused on Denali. I'll focus on Denali come January. Right now, it's Running Man.
All right. And now we'll close it out with the speed round. So I'm going to ask you a couple of quick questions. You guys can just jump in with your answers. So the first question is, what is a habit you are happy to have and one you wish you could ditch?
I have a habit. I'm pretty OCD. I like things exactly. One I'd like to drop, man, I don't know. I don't think I have an answer to that one.
A habit that I'm happy that I have.
How about you, Jesse?
I only eat fruit until 12 o'clock. Nothing else but fruit till 12 noon. That's worked really well for me. And the habit that I want to drop is I really want to get not be on my phone before I go to bed. I want to get my phone out of my room. And that's a really bad habit.
Well, that leads to the next question. I think I'm going to know the answer to what you guys are going to say, but what's your favorite way to turn off your brain?
For me, it's running for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For me, it's climbing. I like being at high altitude and being on the edge of a cliff. And my focus is going for every step versus, you know, what I put in my coffee that morning.
That's awesome. So you're both very accomplished. What's something that the other guy did that makes you go,
come on, bear crawl a marathon? He's the only one in the world to ever do it. The New York City Marathon. And I couldn't bear crawl to get my mail. So I don't know how he did that.
I think mine is he's raised like a really, really amazing family. You know, he has four great kids. They're just good, man. He's raised a really cool family. And the way he goes about his life is super impressive. I look at it all the time, like they have all, him and Sarah have all this stuff going on, yet they make so much time for their kids. So I'm always, in how he's raised his family.
That's great. So what's something that most people love, but you secretly can't stand?
I don't like titles. Yeah. I'm a CEO of this or CMO. I don't know. I hate titles.
I don't know if it's what most people love, but I can't stand uncheckable things that people say. Like when people come on and they say, I'm a coach and I did $100 million in sales and there's no verification process of that stuff. It drives me nuts.
Right. Well, you should have my job because you wouldn't believe how many people are killing it who talk to me. Everyone's killing
it. And everyone is so easy.
Yeah.
Just wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning and that's all you have to do. Yeah. And then you'll be
sleeping on 18 of my friends' couches when I tried to figure out how to make it as an entrepreneur when I started. You know, like getting rejected by 15 record companies, 15 book companies, having to make payroll. I mean, it's not easy. it comes back to what we talked about earlier, which is will.
Yeah.
And will is not easy. A lot of people don't have will. Do you know that there's 2 million podcasts launched or something on Apple and 75% quit? Don't quote me on this exactly, but I think it's 75% quit after the first episode. So, I mean, yeah. So
wow.
For everybody who's killing it.
I believe that.
Sure you are.
Yeah. Well, speaking of music, I have to ask you, Jesse, what feels better, finishing a 100-mile race or being in Madison Square Garden hearing, go New York, go New York, go?
They're very different. When I finished a 100-mile race, I was in a wheelchair for 3 days. When I was at Madison Square Garden, I had 7 tequilas with okay. Dev in the sitting on the court.
I agree.
That's awesome. Well, guys, thank you so much for spending some time with us. This thing sounds amazing. It's runningmanfestival.com. As I said, it's September 12th to the 14th. And I mean, I'm going to go. It sounds so fun.
Yeah.
I got to start training a little bit, maybe do some stretching. Yeah, give everyone some fitness homework. Someone who's been out of it for a while, what should they do today?
Dan, I got to tell you though, you don't have to be a runner to go to Running Man. You can show up. Do a couple laps. You don't even have to do laps. Come listen to the master chats. Meet some other entrepreneurs. Like,
or
really don't have to.
3 mile 30-year program with Dan.
All right.
Dan, you want to start training?
Yeah.
That sounds good to me.
Get a pair of walking sneakers and a case of beer. And then show up at Running Man. You'll dominate.
And that is how success happens.
Yes.
I love it. Hey, what's the biggest hurdle that you feel like is getting in the way of your success? Let me know at howsuccesshappens@entrepreneur.com and I will ask our next guest.